is all about. You're supposed to begin to thank Him for those things that you can remember. Watch Him be faithful to remind you of some other things, and it will lead you into worship. Worship will lead you into the moving of the Holy Spirit, which in turn will birth Jesus Christ in you, once again, fresh and anew. That's the formula we have to obey. Amen? All right. Can you stand a kind of a quickie? Or do you want me to quit right now? I mean, I could quit. I've been blessed. I'm happy. Hallelujah. All right. No? I don't know. Let's get started. I know something about God. If He wants us to stop, He's rude enough to say stop. Or polite enough would be the correct way to say it. Let's pray. Father, these are Your people. This is Your word. This is Your time. Do with us what You will today to bring forth the harvest that You've already prepared and planned. And for that, we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll thank everybody that moved by the Spirit to minister this morning. That's great. That's the way it should be. All right. I'm going to try to get across one thought today, being as if the earth kind of quaked a little bit over the last week or two. Praise the Lord. I will tell you that we didn't know exactly why we were going to South Texas. Once we got there, we found out very quickly that we were supposed to be there. We were supposed to take care of some of God's business for God's kingdom, for His ownership of properties and things, to intervene in some actions of the enemy. We give Him praise for that. The enemy attacked mightily because of that, but His might is Minnie Mouse might. It's not even Mighty Mouse, it's Minnie Mouse might. And we need to learn to laugh at His attacks. We need to learn to do that. Laugh at His attacks. And I promise you, I had an attack from about every direction that was imaginable. In fact, some that you can't even imagine, I got attacked. And so let's go from there. Most of us have been, and by the way, this is would be a statement of the beginning of a statement of faith number 10. And if we want to title it, To Stand Is to Win. All right? To Stand Is to Win. We're going to cover some things over the next few weeks or whatever about not only taking a stand, but what to stand on. And we may just get our feet wet today. Most of us have been brainwashed. Do you understand that the reason I say to you that I need to brainwash you is because there's been too much other propaganda that has brainwashed us. And we're susceptible to plans of the enemy because of prior brainwashing, training, propaganda, lies. We have been told that for us to succeed and for God to succeed through us, we have to work hard. Now, please don't hear me tell you that we're not supposed to work. Because the Bible says the man that don't work, he don't eat. And I'm for that. We need a lot of starving people around. But now we need to find out what kind of work it is. Because the other thing we're brainwashed into believing is that working hard at a job is going to cause you success. When the Bible teaches us that God gives favor. Maybe we would get more success or more favor if we sought God for it rather than the confirmation of man through a pay increase or a raise or a job or whatever. That those things become secondary to working at what God wants us to work at. We've been told that we're going to get victory and freedom by working. A good, solid, false promise is that if you work hard for a good 20, 30, 40 years, there'll be a good Social Security system to take care of it. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't depend on that. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I trust my politicians to treat me fairly. I'm sorry, you just made a huge mistake. A huge mistake. With a stroke of a pen, any of us, all of us, can lose any retirement from any company, any corporation, any government. Just like that. And they don't have to answer to the people because we the people don't count anymore. So, what we should have never depended on is we the people. What we should depend on is we the people of God. To make that happen in our lives, we're going to have to stand. We are not going to accomplish the work of Jesus Christ by our hands. Maybe we should stop working at working and working at following works and begin to work at standing and believing. The hardest work of all, by the way. There's no harder work in the world than standing and believing. Well, what's the difference? Well, I state a belief. I adopt the belief. I become the belief. But it still takes my stand. And remember, I've warned over and over, anytime God speaks to us about a word, we're going to get tested on that word. Why? Because God wants to know if you're going to stand or not. You need to know whether you're going to stand or not. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, verse 11. Ephesians 6:11, and I'll read this. Most of it will be familiar to you. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, I thought hard work was an armor. No. I thought witnessing on the street corner three times a week is the armor. No. That may be a piece. It says put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, for all of you devil hunters, you're not like Christ, because Christ didn't hunt devils. When they ran across Him, they screamed. He didn't scream while He was hunting devils. He had people to help, pray for, minister to. The devils were just... they were nothing. Let me read it to you again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, can I show you a guarantee here? There's a guarantee in this Scripture. There's going to be wiles of the devil. Just because you get saved, don't mean the devil's erased. So he's going to keep coming. And he's going to keep coming. But this says all you have to do is stand. What do you mean stand? Like this? Yeah, like this. That's one of the ways. Another version would be to be convinced. I'm convinced. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, let's just say nothing, can separate me from the plan of God. I'll just change that one word. The plan of God. And the love of God, which is the plan of God. But I have to put on the whole armor of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, in case you don't understand what this is saying, for all of you who've been wrestling with your flesh as I have this last week, it's not saying that you don't wrestle with your flesh. It's saying the true fight is not with your flesh. Stop arguing with your flesh. If it's hurting, you tell it where to get off. If it's discouraged, you set it straight. That's not the fight. That should be easy. That's what it's saying. That part should be easy. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What does that mean? That means there's a dark spirit and a light spirit. How about that? Let's just make it simple. We can even go to Star Wars and explain that one. We can use their terminology. You grab a terminology you can understand. But here's the truth of the matter. There is a weapon, a spiritual weapon that has been formed against me, but I can let it stand or I can not let it stand by my stand. I can live or die by my choice. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a war going on, constant war. A constant war. It's not between God and the devil. That has been completed. Jesus took care of that. He defeated the enemy. Our instruction, the whole armor of God, is to move into that victory. But if we do not, then we're going to spend the rest of our life fighting an enemy that's already been defeated. Is he real? Well, of course he's real. Sure, he's real. How big is he? As big as you make him. He's as big as you make him. There in Genesis, it talks about there has two lights been created by God. Do you know that? Two lights. One is the greater light that rules the day. And there's a lesser light that rules the dark. Do you know that's what the Scripture says? If you'll take that prophetically, then there is a light called the Word. And then there's another light. Isn't he referred to as a... He's an angel of light. But it also describes him as the lesser light. If you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's only moonlight, you appreciate the moonlight, but you're glad when the sun comes up. Because it is the greater light. It's what you and I seek for and long for continually. But there's a false light that gives you false security. That's why he's called an angel of light. He never outright lies to you. He comes and mixes lies with truth. The devil never lies to you. He mixes lies with truth. You're too smart to believe a lie. Anybody that's saved will not believe a lie. But they can believe a partial truth. He's an angel of light. That is who we war with. Our determination is, how hard do we war? If I were to go to a financial planner today, probably some of you in the same situation, he would tell me doom and gloom because my picture doesn't fit his prescription. And so if I go and ask him, which is already the number one wrong thing to do, if I want to go to a man like that, I tell him, I don't ask him, I have dominion. But if I ask him, he's going to give me, to the best of his ability, his opinion. Now I am fighting a war in the principalities. I have a word that is opposite of God from somebody that I gave place to or credit to. And I've allowed him to speak a word. Now I have a war. Now we have a simple a remedy to this war. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you believe. Is this too simple? Choose you this day what you believe, whom you believe. It falls right back, the war is back to you, just like it's always been. There's only been one remedy for in this war, and that is you choose. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Did God make any evil days? He said He made the day and the night, and He called them both good. So He didn't make any evil days. So what's this referring to? What's an evil day? Can I tell you what an evil day would be for me? That's if I was goofy enough to go ask a so-called professional about their opinion when I already have God's opinion. I've created an evil day. If I question my salvation, I've created an evil day. If I question if there's God, I've created an evil day. If I question whether He's on my side, I've created an evil day. Now, I may not linger long there, but let's just call it what it is. It's something evil I've created. I've opened the doors to the enemy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, and that'll prevent you from doing that. Or it'll help you through it. One of the two. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, did you ever notice in there that it gave preeminence to one particular shield? It says, above all. If you've got to lose everything else, don't lose this one. The shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now we've got another guarantee. The wicked one is going to be throwing fiery darts. I'm not telling you this to scare you, because right above that I told you, what quenches it is faith. What is faith? It's a gas that we have right after we eat a word, right? No. Faith is not that. You know what faith is? Faith is my stand. And faith is what I believe. Faith is what I believe when I'm hurt. Faith is what I believe when I'm hurting. Faith is what I believe when I'm broke. Faith is what I am when I'm rich. Faith is who I am. Taking on the whole armor of God means I'm taking all of God. I'm not going to take out little bits and pieces. Oh, well, this one's a little too hard to believe. I throw that one away. Well, see, I don't totally agree with this. Well, throw that away. Now what you've done, you've already taken away two pieces of the whole armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What is perseverance? Say it.
Staying power.
I want to persevere. That means there might be a little severity here somewhere. But I'm going to make it. See, the thing that God gives you in the salvation package is the undoubtable, the unfailable, the unshakable belief that I've already made it. Did you know that? That's what comes with the first part of your salvation package is, I've already got it made. Now, most charismatic teachings, unfortunately, and some others, will teach you that you don't have to do anything else. Well, I'm reading something here that says you do. It says there's something else. What is the one thing that I've got to do? I've got to stay in the faith that I've made it. I've got to stay there. I can't lose that by saying I've already made it and forgetting it. I must say, as for me and my house, we've made it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I made it. Well, this thing happened. I made it. Well, that thing happened. But you're hurt here. I made it. How do you whip the enemy? You out-talk him. He throws a dart. Oh, praise God. I made it. Oh, praise God, I made it. I'm not going to be out-talked. Nobody's going to deceive me or steal from me what Jesus so costly. It cost God the Father. It cost Jesus. It was a costly gift to me. And I shouldn't treat it so cheaply and lightly. What do we stand on? Let's get some specifics. What do we stand on? Okay. The Word is available to everybody. And the promise is that nobody is going to die before they hear the Word. But many are going to go to hell. So there's got to be something else than Word. Right? It's got to be mixed with faith. Isn't that what the Bible says? What is faith? Faith is what you believe. Faith is what you believe or know. I want you to meditate on that just a little bit. Faith is what you know and cannot be convinced otherwise. Let's talk about some of that. Does God love you? How many times a day do you question that? Now, let me say that differently. How many times a day is that question in your spirit? Yeah, well, that's good. At least once. So if I already know that, how can it be questioned? What song did you play this morning? Count Your Blessings. I'm going to tell you something. There's two reasons why that question comes up. Why God will allow that question to come up in you. Number one, to reconsider. God wants you to reconsider His love on a daily basis. He's not worried about it. He's not going to be caught lacking. And He wants you to consider that. The other reason is, why does He let the enemy do it? So that you can defeat him today. Because you need to defeat the enemy on a regular basis. You need it. I don't care whether you think that or not. There's a warrior in you that needs to win on a daily basis. Now that's everybody in here. That's not just men. That's everybody in here. There's a warrior in you called Christ Jesus. That Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That Spirit that was victorious after there was no more victory now dwells in you. And you need to know it. And you need to stand on that. When there's a question, rises in your spirit or your mind. You need to take a stand on what's right. Now, I can't figure this out, but my mom went and got an x-ray. And the doctor says, oh, you're going to die of cancer. Why do you even consider that? Why do you even consider that? I got your diagnosis. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now you need to decide if God's a liar or not. And I got some suggestions for you. If He is, find you another God. And if He's not, don't look for any other answer. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? If you got the right answer, why would you look for any other answer? Why would we seek another answer? I heard somebody say recently that, and I'll put it broadly first, every time we sin, that is an admission that God was not big enough. And you all need to think about that. Every time that we doubt Him, that's a sin. We are admitting, or at least allowing God, the devil to come in there and convince us for the moment that God wasn't good enough, big enough, strong enough. He hadn't completed it. What do we stand on? What we know. We know the Word never lies, right? So if we know the Word, we got the truth and we got the last Word. Everybody in here going to die? Everybody in here going to die. The body will crater one day. The promise gives you some longevity. You can. There's a couple of suggestions. One's 70, one's 120. You need to believe what you're going to believe. But here's what I know. The Word gives you the right to decide. I can tell you an instance or two in the Bible where it not only gave the men the time, the deciding factor in time, but how they went. Not even the normal way. See, when God says you have dominion, He didn't say you had dominion except for here, 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 and here. He said you have dominion. Now, if He gave you the dominion to live a full life, then you have the right to hold Him to that promise without offending Him. When you look at God and you read a scripture and says, God, you don't have any choice. Don't think He's mad. Don't think He's mad. He says, remind Him of His Word. He's the one that said, I'm not a man. I cannot lie. He also said, if you ever catch me in a lie, I'll kill myself. So I think He takes His side of it real serious. How serious are we taking our side of it? We know that we've got to be saved. Now all we have to determine is, are we saved? Are you? Then the next question is, are you safe? Well, then you need to determine what you're safe from. Are you? Poverty? How can you say that? Don't you know the conditions of the world? Don't you know when you got out and worked around all that DDT and all that urea that you can die from that? That nearly sounds like something God would say. You mean you think you're good enough to talk like God talks? Now come on, it don't hurt us to challenge ourselves and other people a little bit. If they come up with the wrong answer, we need to be the father or the mother or whatever for just a moment. I am saved. I am safe. I have had a glimpse of the kingdom of God. I have entered into the kingdom of God. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. I just read you a formula that says, by His stripes I'm healed. I know I'm forgiven because it's in the same formula. Well, Stan, you sound like you don't need anything else. No, something's wrong with your hearing. I didn't tell you that. I told you that faith without works is dead. Did you know that? Well, what kind of works, Stan? Well, I think you ought to get up at 6 in the morning. I think you ought to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And I think you ought to sweat all day long. There's going to be many people that outworked you, and they're going to make it to hell, not heaven. We don't judge by works. So what kind of work are we talking about here? How touchy should we get here? Huh? Let's just do this. I am in Christ Jesus. I know the thoughts that He has about me. They're for good in the future. Well, Stan, what if everybody in the world gets mad at you and leaves? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. plans to give you hope and a future. You see, I don't care about the plans of people and the enemy. I only care about the plans of God. Does that make you bulletproof, Stan? Yes. Didn't it say that I could withstand any fiery dart that the enemy threw at me?
Yeah.
By faith? I'm bulletproof. I'm Superman. Oh, y'all smile. I'm created in His likeness and image, am I not? A new creation. You know what else? I'm an eternal being. I cannot be destroyed. If you really knew that you cannot be destroyed, why would you fear death? And if the enemy can't scare you with death, what weapon has he got to scare you with? If he can't scare you with cancer, if he can't scare you with poverty, if he can't scare you with your friends and your relatives leaving you, if he can't scare you with saying that there's no future, then let me ask you something. What right do you have to be afraid of anything? Even spiders or bugs are flying or driving. My lineage has sugar diabetes, therefore I am afraid that I might. You opened the door of the evil day when you said that. You opened the door for the evil day. I just told you, and I'm going to tell you again, the only weapon that the enemy has is fear. He's got to cause some fear. To cause fear, he has to find a point where you have not stood in faith yet. So why do the tests come? You're given the opportunity to stand in faith. And now you know that weapon will never overtake me. Let's move to the next one. Pretty soon we can say to the enemy, you're just not even worth worrying about. I mean, you've thrown everything you can throw at me. Maybe we won't spend so much time going through things if we'll just make some decisions. We know that one of the things that we have to stand on is praise and worship. I'm telling you beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's many ways to say it. We play it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. But I promise you this. In the lowest hour, you should be yelling the loudest praise. And you will have the greatest victory. And if you don't learn that, you won't ever have great victories. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This is a big challenge. I don't know if you know this or not. But you know what the sacrifice of praise is? If you had to put it in one of these categories, spirit or truth, what is the sacrifice of praise? Truth, right? We know Him for who He is, and we speak it out loud, even if we don't feel like it. This says that's not enough. We have to go to a point where through sacrifice of praise, this is what we stand on now. We're talking about something that we've got to have to stand on to survive, right? We have to come to the point where we maybe for a moment offer up a sacrifice of praise, but it moves into spirit. Can I tell you why? You probably have not heard this before. Because the Word itself is truth, and truth praises God. The Word praises God. God doesn't need His own Word to praise Him. He needs us. The sacrifice of praise is to move us into agreement so that our spirit begins to praise Him. And that's what God wants, our spirit, our eternal being, to learn to begin to praise Him here so that we can spend eternity doing that. All right. Y'all got reservations or not? You do? Okay. See, I have to determine, sitting up here, I have to determine when we let out. Do we want to beat the Baptists, or do we want to beat after them? And at 12:30, we'll get there about the time they get there. So we just... Okay. Boy, I got a lot of time. Either that or, where'd you tell me to go? No, never mind. Then I'm going to go a little bit further. We have to stand on the promises of God about our health, about our finances. Can I tell you something that's a little more elusive? We have to stand on the promises of God about our attitude. Our attitude. If we, the enemy is real subtle here. He can give us good reasons for us to have a bad attitude. What's a bad attitude? Looking at things in a wrong way. You know what my Bible tells me? It tells me, Harry, that my steps are ordered. It doesn't say, unless I get mess on my shoes, unless I slip in the mud, it says my steps are ordered. What does that mean? Simply speaking, if you will disregard circumstances that you think you see, you will begin to see reality. If I cannot look at the things that I'm stumbling through, I will be able to see the victorious goal. Too many times we do those three-point landings on our nose or on our face because we're so busy looking at, oh, so-and-so did or so-and-so said, or you don't understand what happened to me. You know, this was taken or that was given or whatever. You know, we start stumbling over those things. That's a bad attitude. What's a good attitude? I don't care. My steps are ordered. I even read to you a while ago in Jeremiah 29:11. I know, God says of me, I know the things I have planned for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I need to get that to you. Their plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So, all I've got to say, if this hurts, it wasn't God. So why am I regarding it? Remember, I'm going to say it to you one more time. Well, Stan, that nearly sounds like you don't have a heart. Right. I got rid of that heart thing. It was desperately wicked. I'm not no more heart. Facts. Facts. The facts are God has good plans for me. And if I quit moving by my heart and move by His plans, I'll be successful. My heart will draw me into all kinds of weird places. It'll make me give my wife wrong answers. It'll make me give me wrong answers and you wrong answers. And your heart will have to forgive my heart once in a while. So why don't we just cut them out and throw them away and live by the Word? Live by the Word. But my heart tells me, tell me what your Word says. I don't want to hear what your heart says. Tell me what the Word says. Because I know your heart's wicked. Now give me that. Now Tana told some of y'all this week what her heart wanted to do and what his heart wanted to do. Never once did they tell you what God wanted them to do. Y'all go through the conversation. I don't have to be there to hear it. I didn't hear it. I'm just telling you what they said. Another thing, and these may not be in order, but another thing that causes us to stumble is government. Did you know that? Government causes us to stumble continuously because we have not solidified in our mind what God's government is. And this is going on tape, and I got to get this to some people. But I got attacked this week over a calling of mine because people don't exactly like some of the callings that I have that's been put on my shoulders that I didn't ask for. But you know what? I'm smart enough not to reject them. You don't tell God what to do. He tells you what to do. And the reason it needs to be that way in your spirit is because He knows better than you what's best for you. It's not because He wants to be a dictator. He just knows best. Listen, Ephesians 2:20. I'm not going to hit all the governments today. I want to start off with this one. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. I've alluded to this again. We're going to have to get in our spirit. The one thing that denominations and religions have worked very hard in doing is getting rid of those two offices. We don't have apostles and we don't have prophets. And if we talked about them, we talk them out of the side of our mouth and we don't talk too much. And we nearly hope sometimes that they don't exist, because then that would put us under submission to an office. But the Scripture says that everything is built upon the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, Jesus Christ being the foundation. The cornerstone is the foundation back then. Praise God. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God hath set some in the church, listen to this, first apostles. Now we need to reconsider. Maybe we're beginning to look at this and find out why Christianity as we know it today is so weak. It's so weak. And we're nearly a mockery to God in community. Listen to this. And God hath set some in the church. First thing He set was apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Way down the list, miracles. Right now, all you have to do is have a guy throw a miracle out once in a while, and the whole world will follow him. But the Bible says you better be looking for the apostle first, the prophet second, the teacher third, and after that, miracles. After that is the gift of healings. After that, helps. After that, other governments. After that, diversities of tongues. Now, for you guys that are listening carefully, the very last thing in order that He put in the church was the gift of tongues. The very first thing was leadership in the form of government, or government in the form of leadership. Why are you bringing that, Stan? You know why I'm talking about it. Now let me give you some words that were repeated to me recently, and I'm sure you maybe even have said them. I've got one Father. That's the Father. I don't need another one. You just called the Scripture a liar. I didn't make it up. That said that. What am I saying? Stan, what are you saying? You know, when we're first saved, we're lone rangers. And we're looking for a Kemosabe to follow us. But the Lone Ranger dies quickly. The Lone Ranger is applied to little children. Immaturity. As soon as you get mature, you understand the Lone Ranger don't work. He's dead. He's dead. And unless you are an apostle, there ain't no Kemosabes. And by the way, where did the word pastor come in there? I know all of y'all are going to grab your concordances and your strong dictionaries, and you're going to find out which one of those means pastor. None of them. The closest one is teacher. Apostle is not a pastor, and neither is a prophet. And anybody that goes to a church and the pastor stands up and says, I'm the fivefold ministry incarnate, you better run. You better run. Because the next thing he's going to say is, I'm also the Messiah. Because that's what he believes. Government is important. Independent government is rebellion. I'm free. Me and the Father are partners. I mean, He's my friend, He's my lover, He's my boyfriend, He's my everything I need. You didn't read the Scripture. You didn't read the Scripture. Well, Stan, you said He was called to the church. All of these things were given to the church. Remember what I taught you a few weeks ago? The church is everything. There is no Christian without a church. There is no church without a Christian. They're tied. They can't be. You can't be the Lone Ranger. Everybody that God calls, He calls to a position. Please don't think He's such a lousy Father that He saves people, He births them, and He doesn't give them an inheritance. He's a good Father. And He says, I birthed this person. I birthed you. Now listen to me and I'll tell you where I want you to go and what I want you to do. You know why we're caught with arrows in our back all the time? We're turned the wrong way. We're turned the wrong way. If we were turned to where we're supposed to be, in the church, in the position, doing the work that God calls us to do, we have His full armor. But when we're out there on the street saying, praise God, I'm free. I got rid of all those stupid people that hurt me. Well, that may be true, but you got rid of God too. Because you went against His Word. Now, are we men and women enough of God, strong enough, man enough to listen to what I'm saying? To listen to the Word of God? Then my strength is here or wherever. I'm not against other churches. Please don't hear me say that. But if I'm called here, my strength is here. My strength for what? To stand the arrows of the enemy? To help others that are being attacked by the enemy? That's where my strength is? Well, why'd you bring up an apostle? Well, let's don't talk about it right now. Let me get a little foot in the door here right quick. Let's just remember that there is no authority without being under authority. According to the Word of God, there is no authority without being under authority. Now, I hear all your hard questions now, and I'm not ready to answer them. I probably had them while you were speaking them. Let's just admit, let's be as little children and admit that there's got to be a government of God established. Okay? And let's don't be immature and infantile and say, I don't need anybody, I've got God. You got the last one, right? That immaturity is, I don't need anybody, I have God. Total, extreme immaturity, disobedience. But you don't understand. I've been called to this apostolic calling. I can run around the world now. I can just minister everywhere because the whole world's my ministry. I don't want to hear your word. I want you to show me. If you can't show me, shut up. Now, I hate to be rude, but the Bible tells you that you need to be willing. You need to be ready to defend what you believe. Does it say that? You've got to be willing and able to defend what you believe. So don't say things that you don't know where it's located or you can't find it one way or the other. Now, I'm going to come to a stop here. I'm not near finished, but next time we meet together, I'll get some more into this stand. I want to remind you of a couple of things, the basics, the things that the devil wants to kill us quickly on. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now I'm going to ask you a question about this. Do you think he missed any? Do you think there's been some new strains crop up that he didn't consider? Do you think that some of the strains have become stronger and they're no longer they can no longer be overcome by what Jesus did? Lineage? Did anything get past God the Father in the work of Jesus? Did anything get past that? Not a fall off of a pier. Not a stupid x-ray. Not a back pain. Not a diagnosis of cancer. Not a diagnosis of, I'm not even going to say that, whatever you tried to say, fiber, whatever. Not anything, Jeff. Nothing slipped by God. Everything that will ever face us was covered in this scripture right here. And if you want a Bible study, then you go to the New Testament and see where it refers back to this. So there's confirmation. If you don't learn anything else today, you learn this one. You listen to this and you learn it. Because it covers not just sickness. It says transgressions, iniquities, and whatever it took to bring peace. So you even have the right to be peaceful at what you're doing. 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What's the scripture saying? Don't ask me for wealth if you don't ask me for spiritual health. I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to come in the other way. You heard this scripture too many times, the freeway. The freeway is what leads people to hell. You know that? The Bible says it's a wide freeway. Many go down that way. It's those back streets that gets us to heaven. So, I'm telling you, the salvation of God was not cheap and it wasn't free. And it's not free to you. Listen again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. What does that mean? That means on a daily basis, you're going to get richer and richer in the Spirit. Therefore, you're going to get richer and richer in health and abundance, peace, joy. Okay? Why are you telling me these two things right off the bat? We've got to stand on something. Or we're going to fall for everything. We've got to stand on something. Pretty good scriptures, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good scriptures. For the things that are attacking you, they're pretty good. You know it. You too. Him too. The things that are attacking you. You know, you don't need any more than these two. I mean, you do, but right now you don't. We need all of it, right? We need all of it. The third one, I'll give you the Trinity, and this will take care of you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The enemy, kill, steal, destroy. God's plans for you, prosper, protect, give, hope in the future. Everything that's opposite of the enemy. Take those three things, always combine them with this one other scripture, Luke 22:42. Don't be like Christ unless you can speak like Him. Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Okay? Why do you bring that up, Stan? So that all of these plans that you begin to stand on, they're based on God's will and not yours. Okay? I heard this week, well, we're just not being able to spend enough family time together. Well, why don't you come to church? Why, when the husband has a day off, does he not come to church? Why do you have to come by yourself and then you want to tell me you can't spend family time together? What a better place to spend. There's no danger here. And besides that, when God blesses the time together, He blesses the people. Much better than, you know what I would get bored with? Honey, we just haven't been spending enough time together. Let's have a date once a week. That's sick. I want a date every day. In fact, I want one a little more often than that. And I don't know how to get that except through the will of God. There is no joy except in the will of God. There's no peace. Well, if my whole thrust is works, let's just cut everything off. Let's cut the phones off once a week. We'll go out and we'll spend $100 on the meal. I know you're hard to satisfy. $200. What we're doing? We're doing works. This is works. What's going to happen? The thrill the first time, second time, third time. But if it's by His Spirit, then it don't have to be once a week. It can be every day. How about praise? How about worship? How about abundance? How about joy? Let's don't work at it. Let's stand on it. Let's stand on what we know. Do you know God? Do you know Him to be good and not bad? That's a pretty good leap. If you just get that one down, that's a huge step. And I've got a lot to stand on if I stand on that. My health? I picture Jesus picturing me. Before the foundations of the earth, He knew me. True or not true? That's true. If He knew me, He paid for my mistakes. He paid for my sickness and disease. He took care of it because I was in His eye. Everything that's ever come my way, He's already seen it and He's already taken care of it. I can just step up on that one real good. One more time. If He saw the sicknesses and the disease, did He see the mistakes? Did He see the sins? And He chose me anyway. So He looked from before the beginning till after the end. He saw everything from to. He took it into consideration and chose me anyway. So what is left for the enemy to say? See, I took my wife. She's my wife. I could not see the end. I had to make a blind decision. My groom, Jesus, did not do that. I am so confident in this that He saw every sin, every mistake, everything that I ever did, and He chose me anyway. So there is no recourse for the enemy except to lie. God didn't see that one. Oh, yeah, He did. Oh, yeah, He did. And He knew I'd overcome. He knew He and I would make it anyway. So we're going to make it anyway. Now, what size problem can overcome that, Harry? Man, I can't think. I mean, there's been a lot of them run over me lately, but none of them can overtake me. I'm Superman. The devil's kryptonite. All I got to do is stay away from the evil day. Right? Am I afraid of kryptonite? No. No, no. In fact, I'm bigger than Superman. He's afraid of kryptonite. I'm not. I'm super. You know what? I wish that you would all get to talking about yourself like God talks about you. And quit mistaking stupidity for humility. You know what? I dare you to say the things about you that God says about you. I just try to get it out of your mouth. And then try some more, and then just get it out. And then start getting it out until you believe it. And then when you begin to believe it, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Right. Amen? Stand with me. I appreciate your praise and your worship and your attitude and your spirit today. Whatever the devil tried to do to discourage me, you've greatly encouraged me. And the move of the Holy Spirit has done that. And now I'm one of those vessels that can take instead of give. Can give instead of take. I got it right. Correct? And I can go as the father, as the grandfather, as the minister, and not as the wounded one. It's very important for us to... Amen? Now, all hearts clear. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I didn't ask you if you were sanctified. I didn't ask you if you were filled with the Spirit. I didn't ask you if you spoke in tongues. I didn't ask you if you were real happy or sad. I asked you if your heart was clear. Because if God returned this moment, He would expect a clear heart. Nothing tugging against it, nothing in the way between Him and you. If not, you need to come forward. Or you need to raise your hand, or you need to blurt it out, or whatever it takes to overcome. Just be victorious. Come on, I'm a lot like God. I'm not going to give you all day. All hearts clear? All righty. Then don't forget, we'll use a little help to put things up. The faster we do that, the faster we get out of here. By the way, how many more times we got to do that? A couple more times? All right. We guessed we enjoyed having you. For those that are part of the family, if this is a good family, you need to get busy and invite some more. If this is a good, safe place, bring them in. Don't be selfish. Father, we love you with all of our hearts. We say it again, not as tradition. We love you with all of our hearts. But more than that, we trust you. We trust that what your word says is true. And God, I know that faith and trust are not anything until that's all we're holding on to. Make it so in our lives. If it's a little test, so be it. But make it so that you're the only thing that we trust. You're the only one we trust. You're the only way we trust. Use us in your kingdom today, tomorrow, and the remaining part of our lives here on this earth to glorify you, to magnify you, and to bring others into the knowledge, the true, real knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Messiah. And for that, we'll be eternally grateful. Show yourself strong in us. Magnify yourself and glorify yourself through our actions and words this week, this life. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.